Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You ain't heard nothing yet.
Houston, we have a problem.
They're here.
Stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
What's going on, all you Brooklyn Buddhists? This is Woody Massey, producer of the Jimmy Della Valle Brooklyn Buddha podcast, with co-hosted by Tim Humamune. On this week's podcast, we have hilarious comedian Vince Royale. Vince touches on a number of things, all from doing stand-up, some crazy ways that he makes money to supply his stand-up career. And also, he talks about his girl, and just a little fun fact, a week after this episode was recorded, Mr. Vince got engaged to his fiance. So you can put a little two and two together there. Send some congrats out on Twitter, Facebook, whatever. All right, guys, you got a great episode this week, and we'll be back. We got a ton of great shows coming up, so stay tuned. And Jimmy's got a few dates coming up. For all his future dates, check jimmydellavalle.com. And forget about it.
Brooklyn Buddha. So, I'm excited to have this guy on because I found him. I can't remember where I found him. He's a comedian, and he's breaking into the acting thing. You know, as everyone knows about me and my acting, of course, the new movie, Rivers 9, that I'm doing, that I did, and it's out now. You can get it on Amazon, or you can get bootlegs, or wherever the fuck you want to get. Rivers 9 stars me, Vinnie Jones, Jamie Kennedy, C. Thomas Howell, Elizabeth Rome. Anyways, the point is, this business is all about a look. This guy has a great look, you know, and he was starting to get lost and going on the road and shit and messing around and not really focusing on, and I was like, yo, you have a look. I don't know if you can act, but this game is a look. You need to focus on it. So anyways, he's taking acting classes now. He's a comedian. He's a really good writer. He's opened for me a few times. We've done shows.
And the good thing is he's really funny, so yeah. That combo, like you said, the look, and he's funny. Some people are got a good look, but they're just they can't parlay it.
And just like in this business, I mean, I ran into obstacles. He's ran into fucking walls. I mean, the things that had nothing to do with comedy, a divorce and all different women and drugs and everything. But now he's clean. He's living a good life. He's in a good relationship. And this is my good friend, comedian, actor, writer, sex addict, no more, Vince Royale.
Hey, thanks, Jimmy. I appreciate it. Former sex addict. I got that under control now.
You can never get it under control. That's a weird thing.
You can distract yourself. I picked up hobbies.
Yeah, a lot of models.
Yeah. No, that was the thing. You know, do you remember where we met? I remember because I got yelled at thinking that I owed the guy something.
I think it was the Ha Ha Cafe.
We met at the Ha Ha once.
Yeah.
And then we met at Cliff Yates, who just opened for me in the theater.
Yeah.
And he did a great job.
Yeah, he did a show in North Hollywood.
He did his DVD.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Me and Tim went. And then you were like the usher or whatever it was.
I was controlling the spotlight.
You were helping him. Yeah, you were helping him. It was great, you know, because you're a good guy like that. That's the thing. Comedians, and that's what I want you guys to understand. You have to have your team. You have to have your... It's not an entourage. It's your boys. It's your guys who have your back. Like, if I have a show and Tim doesn't have a show, which is usually... But if I have a show, Tim comes with me, and usually I'll try to throw him on the show, or if I'm just doing a spot at an improv or something around town in L.A., Tim will come and, you know, I know he's funny. I know he's got the game. Like, we can throw him up. Same with you. You do... You know, this is something that I told you to get away with, get away from, and I see that you're kind of back doing it because you're kind of back in, you know, you're in this relationship and you're doing whatever. But you, when we first met, you were doing a lot of fucking shows at the improvs, like the Irvines, the Ontarios, the Breas, your own show. It's not a bringer show, but you're like producing the show.
Oh, yeah, no, I stopped doing the monthly shows. Okay. That was a little too much. Like, right. You know, I'll do Braille like once every 6 months or once a year, but I don't try to overwhelm myself with doing monthly shows.
Right, right. So you've done a couple things on TV. Did Nuvo.
Yeah, I did Stand Up and Deliver.
You did great. Two. You did Laughs.
Yeah, on Fox.
Me and Steve Hofstadter actually have the same agent now.
Oh, that's pretty awesome. Pretty, Steve's cool, man.
Pretty crazy. I've known Steve since he started.
That was a great opportunity for me, too, because I was featured on Dish Nation, too. I was did my clip.
And yeah. You murdered it. Your clip
was... That was the Pechanga.
Pechanga.
I don't know. It's something.
Fucking. Yeah, but I don't know if I'm allowed to mention, but I got picked up to be on season two as well, so I'm real excited about that. We're filming my set next month at Funny Bone in Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, sweet.
So so how does that work? Are you booked to go there to the Columbus, Ohio? They're like, oh, so that's how it's hooked up now. Because I thought he was doing like comics that are not. Like, they're just there that week, and that's how it goes, or no?
Yeah, they revamped the whole thing. I was contacted by the producers. They said that was one of the top favorite
right.
that they wanted to bring back on season two.
So and you want to parlay it, because that club, if he's still there... Yeah.
No, he's still there. Dave Stroop is the guy who runs the Columbus, Ohio
Funny Bone. He books the Funny Bone.
You're going to murder. Bring your best shit. Do not fucking think about anything new. Murder. He will literally take you in the other room with a calendar and say, let's give you 30 weeks.
Oh, that'd be dope.
It literally happens all the time. That's what he does. He's known for it. You can actually go on YouTube and my buddy Mike Malone, the comedian, Mike Malone, know him?
Yeah, I've heard of him.
Fucking crazy. Right? Mike Malone's a great headliner. Really has no TV credits, but an awesome headliner. That's where he started. And they did a video. It's on YouTube. You have to see it. And he plays Dave Stroop. And the comedian's like, they're like, oh, hey, you get to meet Dave today. You know, you get your spot. Blah, blah, blah. You show up. So they did the whole video. And the guy never gets to meet him. And it's the whole thing. You know what I mean? It's just... the runaround.
Yeah, I'm real excited about it. I've only been to Columbus, Ohio once. Right. I was just driving through on a road trip, and I did like an open mic one night.
It's a great club.
It's a great Tim club. Did it. Tim killed.
Oh, yeah.
But of course,
well, you know,
Tim has a horrible story.
I got a heart.
We talked about it earlier
when
we had Stephen Briggs on the other podcast. Tim's every story starts out great and ends horribly. Like, and that's what happened to Tim at the best comedy club.
Well, it's all right. So there's a great comic, Moody McCarthy, and
who was my cousin.
Cousin, who and people who used to mistake us. They thought I was him. He was me, or whatever. So we did a tour called Long Lost Brothers. We would do a bunch of shows, and then we drove over to the Columbus Funny Bone to meet this guy Stroop, and. And Moody set up a showcase where we're doing like 20 minutes each, and he's going to see if he can feature us, you know, around the country, all the Funny Bones, maybe headline during the week. So it was a major, you know, step for us. We took 7 hours, get there, and there's, you know, the other comics on the showcase, and Stroop goes, all right, 20, 20, 20. Oh, fuck. I forgot about you, Moody. hold on, let me... I got to cut people's time. And everyone's like, whoa, what am I? He goes, oh, I forgot. All right, 15, 15, 15. Moody, 15. Tim, you do 5. And I'm like, 5? He goes, well, I don't have room for it. So Moody, the nicest guy in the business, goes, hey, look, why don't you give him my time, you know? And so he goes, okay, 15, 15, 15. Moody, you do 10. Tim, you do 5. And Moody's like, what? I'm like, what? I, you know, like. So then the show, it's sold out. Everyone's killing. Tommy Jonagan is the host. He's killing. Everybody's doing great. And Moody does great. And now a guy stops in. This guy's Steve Brewer, who just did a half-hour Showtime special.
Steve Kramer.
No. Brewer.
Steve Brewer?
Brewer. He did the half-hour Showtime with Patrice O'Neal. And this guy, I'd worked with him.
He's an impressionist, right?
No, no, no. He's a dirty act. He's a filthy. He got standing ovation. This is how funny. I did.
I have one more thing I'm going to get wrong.
Yeah. This guy, I featured for him in Buffalo, Jimmy Knows Comics Cafe. I got a standing ovation as a feature. I mean, unbelievable room. He got a standing ovation. So the booker, when I, you know, I said, look, I want a headline now. He goes, well, you know, you did good, but. I said, well, I got a standing ovation. He goes, no, Steve got a full ovation. You got a partial standing ovation. He goes, it's a big difference. You know what I mean? Like, that's how strong this guy is. So he comes in, and they go, oh, we're going to put Steve on. He's going to do a spot. And this guy fucking gets literally a standing ovation, and they go, you're going to go on next with your 5 minutes. And I go, how am I following this guy who's he's a killer. Boom, boom, he goes through the crowd. Boom, boom, boom. So he kills so much that Tommy Jonigan goes, I got to bring you right up after. They want me to bring you right up. So by the time he brings me up, Steve Brewer is still on stage high-fiving people who are standing for him.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
So I do my boom, boom, you know, I'm trying to, like, win him over. It's a little tight. I'm slowly getting him back, giving up for Steve, blah, blah, blah. By my three-minute mark, all of a sudden, I'm killing 4 or 5. I end really strong. So the guy, Stroop, goes, hey, I want to speak to you in the other room. And he goes, the reason why I had you follow Steve is because I know he's not many people can follow him. And you showed that you can follow a really strong act. And Steve gave me a good recommendation. But everything's, you know, you'd probably be a great feature act for all the funny bones. But
Tim's
I can't
all
book.
This is amazing.
I can't book you on a 5-minute set, though. So come back again and do it. I've never been back since.
Fucking horrible.
I mean, how do you tell somebody, yeah, you got to come back and do it again?
You know, that's the business. I mean, like, so the other day I'm in Vegas and I have to go headline Laughlin, go to Arizona, do this. And, you know, Steve Shortbus, you know Shortbus?
I heard of him.
Man. He's in handicapped. He's in the wheelchair. Okay. And is, you know, funny comic. Opens for Russell Peters a lot and Pablo Francisco all the time. So we're at South Point, and he goes up, and I figure I'm going after him. You know, he's in the wheelchair. You know, he's fucking hilarious. And all of a sudden, Pablo's like, yo, I want to go up right now. Like, Pablo's supposed to go after me. He's like, I want to go. Pablo goes up, murders in front of me. And this is like my home, the South Point. You know what I mean? I've done the dirty at 12... 20 times at least, right? 30 at 12:30, South Point Casino, best show in Vegas, guys. And fucking Pablo goes on and kills. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm gonna, like, I feel like my whole, like, career at the South Point's done. Like, I'm gonna bomb after him. This is, like, horrible. And then I thought of Tim's story. You know what I mean? And I'm like, fuck that. Tim followed that guy. You know what I mean? Me and Tim are best friends. I remember it. He said, so I'm like, Tim fucking followed that guy. Killed in front of him. So then I fucking went up and I just fucking, boom, I just fucking no holds barred murdered after him. And Shortbus just called me yesterday to book me to, like, headline at the Tempe Improv. He has a show, which is a great show. Tempe Improv. You know what I mean? So it's like, you, of course, my story ends up good. Tim's doesn't. But the point is, Tim had to follow this guy. I mean, it's like, this is what I want my young fans to listen and understand is respect the fucking stage time. So many comics don't. When a new comic is on the show, me and Tim dealt with this in New York City all the time. We're new comics, we're working the ranks, we're doing shows, and you got, like, older comics that are, they're not that old. One guy was about 3 years, 4 years more than me, and he would bitch every night at the comic strip. I remember me and Tim were going up almost the last spots, and he would go right before us, and he would go, hey, fucking guys, why are you guys even here? Why are you here on a Wednesday? Would you go home? Like, you waste my time. I had to come in from Jersey. He would sit there and bitch, right? And I'm like, fucking respect the stage time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I always see you respect the stage time. And I mean, you know, you fuck around with crowd work and you're good with it, but you're always trying new shit. And I don't know if it has anything to do with me, but I've always told you, make sure you're trying new shit up there.
Oh, yeah, all the time, man. I just want to, one of my fears is to be doing the same fucking right. 20, 30, or however long minutes the next 15, 20 years and have to fuck the same thing. And I'm like, well, how the fuck am I growing?
My agent that I just signed with in New York is a huge agent, Kincaid Entertainment, one of the fucking top fucking agents in the business. They used to be Paradigm. They did the Blue Collar Comedy Tour, everything. They're just phenomenal. Now, he said to me, I'm not going to say any names, but he goes, I used to book an act that's now a famous comedian. And he said that he would always do the same act, never change a joke. He goes, I booked him 4 times at the club. It was at Comics in New York City. And he said that, he goes, I could never book him again. He goes, he's like, how can you not? And the guy's like, well, I'm doing movies, I'm doing this, I can't do it. And then he goes, Kevin fucking Hart does a new hour every year. Yeah, he's fucking doing movies all the time. You can't write 10 new motherfucking minutes.
Kevin's got a staff full of writers, too.
Of course, but, you know, I mean.
It's funny because my girl told me she went to go see George Lopez back in 2003 or 2004, mm-hmm. and she went to go see him maybe 2-3 years ago.
Right.
She said he didn't change, in 10 years, he didn't change his act. And she was just, like, completely bored
right.
with the show. And I'm like, fuck, even that guy at that level.
Yeah.
Why can't you fucking do some new shit? Or at that point, just fucking hire writers.
Well, you know what?
Wait. I want to. So a guy who doesn't change his act, and it doesn't matter, and this is one of the only guys, and he might change now because he's retired, is Jay Leno. He's probably one of the best stand-up comics. If you go watch him do an hour, it's one of the best hours you'll ever see in your life. It's tremendous. It's seriously, young comics, you might think, oh, Jay Leno. You might not think, go watch him.
He learned to win over crowds, like, really early, because I listened to his interview
joints.
On Marin, more than strip
and
joints.
He gave him,
he toured with Miles Davis.
Exactly.
So he used to open up for friggin' jazz crowds.
And they would want, yeah. But he would also do this, and I've done this back in the day, because I take the models of, you know, the business models of people, like, and I've done it before, and Tim, I think me and Tim did it one time. We were touring all over the country, co-headlining when we first wanted to be headliners. And we were like, look, if we don't do good, don't pay us. Tim's like, well, no, they gotta pay us. No, we're gonna kill, doesn't matter. You know what I mean? And we always got paid. You know what I mean?
But like, I think I mentioned on another podcast, like guys like Kevin James, who I remember, the cool thing was, he would do, I remember it was Brian Regan 1 week I opened for, and then Kevin James. Brian Regan would do like a 4-show weekend, and he would do a different set each show. So the same audience would come back to the next show, so that's how he built his audience. Kevin James, what he would do, he'd do the same setups with different punchlines. So he would just improvise. It'd be something minor, but it would change, you know, it just, because a lot of times comedians write different punchlines, and then we're like, oh, it's stick to one, or, you know,
right.
But it kept him fresh in his head. I don't know if he does it now because he's, you know, not focusing on stand-up that much. But yeah, I just worked with, in 1 week I worked with two guys who've been doing 35 years each, and both had jokes that have been doing over 20 years, and just the references of Clinton, Lorena
right.
Bobbitt, you know, stuff like that. And I mean, you mention that, and every comic goes, you know, like it dates
right.
you so bad that you're like,
Well, you know, it's funny. I used to do a Rain Man bit years ago with Mike Tyson, and I never really seen anybody do Mike Tyson as Rain Man. But anything Rain Man is like, you know, if you mention it, it's like, oh man. Rain Man. You know what I mean?
The 90s.
Like, you know, it's so crazy because of the demographic. Like, your girl is, Vince, younger? Older?
She's younger.
She's younger. How much younger?
You gotta say younger anyway.
Yeah.
You can't say
much. Much younger?
No, no, no. No, not like the woman I've dated in the past.
Like, yes. I can't relate.
I can't, you know, yeah.
Like, I can't relate to a fucking girl. Like, it's funny, like, a lot of my exes, so I was playing the Borgata, and a lot of my exes were showing up. Every night, a different ex was showing up, and a couple exes, you know, were showing up, and they're with the boyfriends, or married, or whatever, and I looked at Tim, and I, you know, Tim knows most of the exes, and I'm like, thank God I'm with my wife. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, man, thank, you know, that's why they're exes. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, me and my wife, I remember I was performing at the Comedy Connection in Providence, and I was driving, and I had the earpiece in the cell phone. You know, I think that's back then, you'd pay for minutes, you know, and we're driving, and I'm, like, lost somewhere near the fucking ocean or whatever it is, and it's dark, and I hate the fucking dark, like, unless it's a city, you know, like, whatever. And we're talking about the fucking Smurfs, and, you know what I mean, and I used to do this thing where I would, like, hum the tune or something, and she would, you know, she'd go, oh, you know, oh, I love the, you know, the gummy bears flying here and there. You know what I mean? Like if a girl can't relate,
yeah,
like, here's the thing about you. You were married.
Yeah.
And how many years did that go?
Like 5-6 years in my 20s. See, I look younger than I appear. I'm in my 30s. And my girl now, she's...
And you're Filipino, so you're like, yeah. 60.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like 60. Yeah.
65. No, me and my girl, we're in the same age group, and which is cool because it's more relatable. She's mature. The chicks I was dating in the past were like early 20s.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I actually had a chick tell me to keep my hat on during sex because it made her feel like I'm her age. She looked, you look more my age, keep your hat on. So it made me really insecure. Like,
you're like, oh, a black porn star.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you keep your socks on? Too? Yeah.
Actually, I do. I keep my socks on because I got like 2 dead toenails. And I told my chick, I tested her the other night. I was like, does this bother you that I have 2 dead toenails? She goes, no, babe. And I was like, yo, you know what? You're a keeper. That's why she can accept me for my fungus.
That's like a reverse boomerang with Eddie Murphy.
Yeah,
he
but
pulls
now you know
back the sheet and she's got the nice toes.
You know, but that Hollywood mentality is fucking with my head. Now I'm gonna take care of the fungus because I found this Groupon for like $1.99 will take care of all your fungus on your toes.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's nice. That's my
shout
goal.
Out to fungus.
Coupon shout out to
fungus Groupons.
Oh shit!
All over the world. So, anyways,
I'll take care of that.
So,
a lot of feedback on that.
So, as I joked with you, I said, "Yo, I'm excited to have you on because Vince does a joke. I'll do his joke because it's my show. But I love his joke. He goes, my mom is Filipino." And my father is missing. I love that fucking joke. And I told him, I said, we will find out who your father is on this episode.
Not really missing, but he left when I was like 10.
No, of course.
He's there somewhere.
Right.
Have you talked to him since? Or?
Yeah.
We have a relationship, but it's not like, you know, it's kind of weird. Because I had two... it's a weird relationship. It's more like, you know, we're pals.
Is he Asian?
He's my father's side is Filipino, Portuguese, and Spanish. But they're like really mixed.
Right.
You know, I did the Ancestry.com DNA testing. I paid $99.
Oh, really?
That's another plug. Ancestry.com.
Groupon.
Groupon.
So that's where the Portuguese, they have bad feet. That's where it's from. That's
what I'm thinking. Fungus.
So has he seen you perform?
Yeah.
No, not yet. He's a pastor. So I forbid him to go to my shows because he would probably not be... he would not accept my act.
So a pastor.
Familiar with
wow.
Act.
Yeah.
Wow. So, and pastors can have sex. Is that?
I think, yeah. They're allowed here. To.
His dad's a pastor.
Yeah, within the sanctity of marriage.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Oh, okay. But he was married to your mom's?
Yeah, but then I don't want to talk about this personal. Why he left and all that.
Oh, see?
Yeah, that's real.
But this is... You're supposed to. This is Howard Stern. Jimmy.
Stop being polite.
Yeah.
Get real.
No. When I was younger, my
my dad actually left my mother for her best friend, and they started a new family.
Oh,
nice. Yeah, but you know what I'm saying?
Hey, man, you know what? Things happen. You know what I mean? You're here. That's the best thing that came out of your dad. So, yeah. You know what I mean?
No, it's cool. Like, there's no bitterness. So for a long time when I was growing up, I despised and I was bitter. I didn't like the way my dad did my mother. You know, he left us. But now it's like, oh, cool, man. I can't hate. You know, things happen in life. They got married really young.
Is your mom ever, communicated with him since?
Or she don't? During the child support times, yeah.
Yeah. They communicated. But I mean, like, she's not, like, she's kind of gotten over it. Yeah.
I don't know if she's gotten over it.
No, but enough where she can, like, all right, I'm not worried about it anymore.
Oh, yeah. My mom's remarried.
Yeah, yeah. So okay. Like okay.
And then
so.
My pops has a new family as well, you know.
So that's the.
And they're really cool. I got, like, half brothers and sisters.
That's cool. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. So it kind of, like, happy ending, but it's kind of rough. You
know, I'm really happy. Like I said, I'm not for years. I ain't like my dad, but no, we're cool now. Plus, the fact that I had an opportunity to be around father figures, different father figures in my life.
Yeah.
My mom was dating a Jewish dude who was like in my life for 5-6 years. He told me how to bowl. He introduced me to matzo balls, gambling,
those
Jews,
everything. So I tell learned, you those Jews.
Yeah, I learned a lot of things. And after that, my mom was dating a black dude. And I learned to appreciate Motown and you know, Black and Milds, stuff like that.
Nice. Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles.
Yeah, all that, man.
Excellent.
So, but that's why everybody asks me, why do you sound like a black Jew? Yeah. I guess I picked it up.
Yeah, well, you're a black Jew. Yeah,
right. So you're Beastie Boy.
Yeah. A black Jew. And then, you know, back in Jersey and New York, they just assume I was Puerto Rican.
Chinese. You had that nice blend.
Yeah, you look like
he looked like a Chinese Mexican, but he's probably Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
You know, right. And then when I moved to L.A., they're like, yeah, he's Mexican.
Yeah.
sounds like a black Jew.
Did you ever lie to a girl about your nationality?
You know what? They always assume that I was
Puerto Rican. I used to always
be
Puerto Rican.
Yeah, and then if that's what's going to make you fucking white, mommy. You know?
Yeah, that's exactly.
So do you see yourself kind of like how you maybe your father got over, you know, kind of, I don't want to say maybe learned his lesson, but do you see, like you said, you went through some stuff, now you're eating healthy, like yourself, like like you're a better person now?
I just started doing all that eating healthier maybe about 3 months ago.
Oh, okay. You know what I mean? But still, most people can't last 2 weeks.
That's because
I had
a slight heart attack.
Oh, shit, yeah.
That's cool. So you had a heart attack, so you're...
Slight heart attack.
So this had nothing to do with your lifestyle, do you think?
I think it was
your
my lifestyle.
Your food and all that?
Food and, I was addicted to Red Bull and vodka.
Oh, shit.
You
okay.
Know, I was doing that. I was that was my routine. You know, every comic has a routine. I would need Red Bull and vodka. You've seen me.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? I had to have that before I go up on stage. It loosens me up.
Yeah.
And I had this, you know.
Sometimes I drink the Red Bull.
I had this thing in my head like, yeah, I'm not going to be loose if I don't have vodka and Red Bull. I'm not going to have enough energy, whatever like that. And plus, last year, you know, my ex that I was with, she was very, she took me down this rabbit hole. You know, we did some blow, and maybe that affected me. I don't know if that contributed to my heart condition.
Yeah.
But so I'm totally free from any Red Bull vodka or any drugs. So like I've been focused, and I think I'm just a lot more focused now because now I am in a relationship too, and my girl has a 4-year-old, so that makes me make better decisions. Like me in a relationship, I think makes me a little more focused. And driven, instead of single Vince would just be like, whatever, I'll do whatever the fuck I want, you know?
Yeah, instinct.
I get instantly
instinct.
Distracted.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm distracted by fucking booze, drugs, and pussy. And I'm like,
So did she help pull you out the mud, or did you meet her after you got all your shit together?
I think it was a combination of both.
Combination.
Yeah, it all just came to the universe. The universe kind of brought me to this path where I'm like, okay, I just need to be more focused on my career instead of like being distracted by all these
You're with this girl, and of course I see that you love her little daughter. I see you posting.
Oh, yeah, man.
So are you like daddy? Does she call you daddy?
You know what? If you ask her, who's your daddy? And then, you know, she'll say, hey, Vince. You know, which is crazy. I've never been called daddy before, except for like cocaine.
But she'll strippers. Say Vince. She'll say Vince.
Yeah, she'll
she
say,
doesn't say yeah, daddy.
Yeah. Every now and then, you know, but she'll say daddy.
And she's Filipino.
No, they're South American. So, which is great.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It's like they're very, you know, loving, loyal, respectful.
Right.
You know, culturally, and it's in their DNA just to be very respectful and loyal.
I think my wife is, she's Costa Rican. I don't know. Is that South American?
I don't know. It's like
I don't know.
Something. Yeah.
So what is South American? There's something there. Like she's Venezuelan. There's something.
Yeah, they're very family focused. You know, they're very family focused. She's very, and then what's crazy is that most of the women that I've dated before were like, you know, addicted to pills, heroin, coke. Used to be amateur porn stars, strippers.
Right.
Then I meet my woman now, who's the complete opposite. Doesn't do any drugs. She has a master's degree on family and marriage counseling. She works with autistic kids. And I'm like, this is perfect because I got special needs.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Right. That's what I figured. So that's good. So you seem like you got your shit together. I can read into a lot of posts when people post and stuff, and I'm like, oh, you know, Vince is doing good. I told Tim, I said, oh, you know, looks
yeah,
like
I'm
doing good.
I'm definitely in a happier place.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not someone negative, and I'm like a lot more focused. I'm allowing like good things. I'm accepting good things to come to my life.
You went through drugs and these whores that were pulling you down, not giving a shit about you. Like, I remember, like, and it was so weird because, like, I'd watch, like, me and Tim went to your house when you were living with Drew, and we went there, and it was like, and you're like, yeah, and you whine to me about everything. I give you advice, and then you're back with this crazy bitch again. So I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
You know
like,
what? And then for a long time, I thought to be a great comic, I had to be miserable.
Right.
I gotta be, you know, I gotta take all this fucking misery and depression because it helps me be who
right.
I am.
Right.
But I'm like, fuck, I can still be funny and be a healthy person mentally and physically.
Yeah.
I had this fear like I'm not going to be funny anymore if I fix myself mentally.
No.
Yeah, because I remember
physically.
I remember when
I
was
what Tim's fault is.
when I was having hard times with my ex, people told me I was a lot funnier cuz I was very bitter on stage.
Yeah.
But it was very honest and it's sort of like when I people kind of, he's not as funny now that he's kind of shied away.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when I listened to Eminem's first few albums or Mary J. Blige, they had a lot of pain and talking about being broke, a lot of misery and depression, but they had so much passion in what they spew. And it's like, and I felt that way too. What if I fix myself and I'm just not as funny anymore?
Yeah.
I got to have that pain to be able to deliver my passion. But you know what?
But,
I think it's nothing wrong. It's just overcoming that fear. I think that was in my head.
It's that 50 Cent syndrome, man. That dude, this dude laid two. He took hip hop to its biggest pop culture peak of all time. There was no bigger point of hip hop than when 50 Cent was dropping singles in the club. Like, that was the first time hip hop was the mainstream music. And this dude friggin' got rich as hell, made a couple business deals. He tried to drop an album last year, and people listen to that and immediately like, what the fuck is this?
Because you're a totally different person.
You just lose. He totally. Lost. He was a hustler, man. He was a drug dealer, and then you stopped being a drug dealer.
So let's talk about Mace, right, Mace?
Pastor Mace? That dude's
fucking
crazy, man.
He was great when he first came out, and then he went into this other bullshit, and you're like, this guy's fucking
right. And then he started a church, and then he dipped on the church, which had a couple, it was a really big congregation, said, I'm going to be a rapper again. Like, don't even.
Chris Tucker.
He's coming out of the Netflix
special. Chris Tucker does, you know what I mean? I mean, I know Chris Tucker. I think he's fucking one of the best.
Yeah.
So he does, you know, he's doing his comedy. Everything's fucking amazing. And he does Friday, you know, puff puff game, you know, all that shit, right? And all of a sudden he's like, boom, born again. I don't do drugs. I don't do anything. He changes his comedy club into like a juice bar, but with comedy club, like no alcohol. And then that was it. Like, that was it. He's not, and he fell off. I mean, he fucking disappeared.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, this is what happened. So, like, and I think that a good woman in your life will keep you grounded.
Yeah, you know what? And that was my fear, too, like, going that route. Like, I'm not going to be funny or not going to be able to deliver as I used to. But I found myself even more focused, and I even write more that I'm thinking clearly. And I'm eating healthier, I'm exercising, I'm fucking, you know, and I'm on stage, I'm a lot more focused. Like, I'm not always... You know, when I blank out, I immediately turn to crowd work.
Right.
You know, now it's just like I remember material, and I'm just
right.
Boom, I'm so on point.
Because comedy's your baby, man. Like you want to nourish it, but you've been told like by stereotypes this your entire life that all these comedians, oh, they're so fucked up, and that's why they're funny. Yeah. They just do whatever, and then they talk about it. That's why they're funny. But like you have this whole generation now that like there aren't a ton of. Comics
again. So, yeah, you know, and I'm like, anymore. And now you know what? And now that's what I was scared of, to lose my edge. But no, it's always going to be there. That twisted mind is always going to be there. You know, it's not going to change just because I'm healthier. But the crazy thing is that, I love this. I love this. I'm going to continue doing it.
So you're Jersey City.
Yeah.
Is that the only place you lived before L.A.?
I lived in... Jersey City. I lived in New York for a little bit, and then when I first moved here in 2008, I lived in Anaheim. I lived in Van Nuys, and now I'm in Long Beach.
Did you? Where'd you start stand up?
I grew up in Jersey City. Technically, I started in Orange County, California.
Then Orange County.
I moved back in 2011.
Nothing to brag about. I started
there. I did 2 years in Orange County. Right. I kind of developed, and I moved back to New York 2011 because I figured that's where I'm from. I need to work the clubs there. So
right.
I did that. I moved back to my mother's basement so I could do stand-up in New York for about a year, and I worked out there, and then I moved back because I didn't have any TV credits. I moved back to L.A. 2012.
Was your mom letting you bring girls back to the basement?
No, I had to do like high school, like how I did it. I had to wait my mom's sleep.
I remember like fucking on the couch, and then my mom, you know, and be like, right? And then all of a sudden, my mom is like, she's coughing, but she's not like standing, like she's just in the hallway. Yeah. And she's going to the, Jimmy, are you, oh my, I got a friend over. Who, is it Jay? No, it's a girl. Oh, would you like this? She'll come in. I'm like on the blanket, like on the couch. Does she want any pie? I'm like, no, I want her pie. Go to sleep, Mom. What the fuck?
Yeah, it's funny. So I couldn't do it.
It was like so awkward.
You know, my mom, you know, she went.
Tim, you never fucked nobody at your parents' house, did you?
A little bit. But the worst is when
like
I was
a zoo.
No, the
you got
worst.
Five, six brothers and six little
kids.
Well,
no, the funniest. My little brother. Used to. Now he's 28. But when he was a teen, you know, little kid, he used to come in my room. Hey Tim, I'm going to school now. I'll see you later. And one time I had a girl in bed, and he comes. Hey, I'm going to school now. I say, Tim, there's a girl in your bed. Mom. He runs to tell my mom.
So that's why I moved back to L.A. One, you know, I got tired of the snow, living in my mother's basement, and I needed TV credits. So I moved back to 2012, and now, like Jimmy said, I'm taking acting classes.
Right.
I got a great acting coach. So,
who are you studying with?
His name's Luis Robledo. He runs the Center for Cinematic Arts. He's done a lot of work.
Is this in Long Beach?
No, this is in L.A.
Okay.
So, you know, he's great, great coach, and he's worked with great people. So,
you know, that's the thing. It's like... you know, it's weird. Like, in New York, there was, like, if you have an agent, you're like, oh, you're with that agent. Oh, that's great. Like, you know the good ones, and you know the okay ones, you know the great ones.
Yeah.
Here, there's so many people that there's such a big turnover with agents or acting teachers. Like, they could be at some shit school, but they're a great teacher. And then all of a sudden, they go on their own, and you're like, oh, they're not, you're like, who are they? And you never heard of them. And they're like, oh, they used to be at that school. You're like, oh, that's a shitty school. But they might have been just a great teacher that made a wrong mistake going to the wrong school.
Right.
So that's good that as long as you can, you know, really, like, everybody, what I'm trying to say is everybody likes their teacher. It's pretty rare that you're like, oh, this fucking teacher's weak. I'm not learning.
Well, the
shit.
Funny thing is when I was in Long Island, I went to this local class. And the teacher was okay, and then everyone's like, you know, what have you been on? Have you done anything? He's like, hey, you know, like, and he gave, and finally he brought in a film of, you know, a clip of him, and it was the worst. And it turns out he was an amateur. I mean, this is in Long Island, so like, he wasn't even in New York City. He was, he did like, and it was so bad that like half the class, like, you know, like, all right, this guy's not even, he's not even a real actor. He's like, you know, can't even.
What is? I'm very judgy like that. Yeah. Like,
no, but I get a good vibe from him. He's, you know, he's really
I'm sure that, most of them out here, you probably have good.
No,
good
actors. A lot of teachers, a lot of really good teachers here.
Yeah, I looked up some bullshit. I looked up his IMDb.
You gotta look up the IMDb.
I said, like, this guy, if you looked up his IMDb, he probably wouldn't even be listed. That's how.
Yeah.
My goal is to just, like I said, in this comedy and acting game, just to have my passion, my art support, and keep me stable.
Right.
You know, it's like, I'm tired of doing the side jobs. I got to do like a million side jobs.
Tell my fans what you do.
Oh, man. It's like, it's
clinicals.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I'm a guinea pig. I take.
A lab rat. He's a fucking lab rat.
I do clinical trials to sustain and support my comedy and my acting career, because this is the only way that I can be flexible enough to go on the road, go on auditions. I do these clinical trials. Basically, I'm taking drugs for money. And then the only reason why I started it, because my roommate introduced me to it. He said, hey, you want to make like 7-8 G's just to, you know, just take these drugs. You stay in the facility for 20 days. I'm like, that's great money, you know? But you're taking a lot of risk, though.
Right.
There's a lot of risk involved. You're taking.
So what about this heart attack? This had nothing to do with your lab rat shit?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe it had to do with the
what
vodka, Red Bull.
What did the doctor say?
And
mixture.
Yeah. The doctor, what do you mean?
Did you go to a doctor?
Yeah, they said it could have been because of my lifestyle.
Right.
My yeah. I don't know how it had anything to do. I never mentioned the clinical trials to the doctor.
So let me ask you, so you fucked around with a million girls, you were a sex addict, you did all this stuff, now you're clean, right? Because, I mean, I was a whore too back in the day, so now to be clean, because it took me a year after getting married to take my AIDS test. Did you take, like, an AIDS test?
Oh, yeah, totally. Like, no, and it's funny because...
Isn't that nice to know you're good?
Doing these clinical trials, you have to be healthy. They test you. They do blood tests, blood pressure, vital signs. You do a physical. They test you for STDs.
Right.
And I'm happy to announce that I'm clearly healthy. You know what I mean? STD free. I'm great, man. Like, you know, being careless all these years, man. You know, I'm blessed, man. I've dodged HPV, herpes.
Yeah, I never caught herpes.
No,
nothing,
man. And I'm like, fucking, that is amazing.
Yeah.
What
crabs?
Nothing, man.
Me neither.
I had a
dandruff.
I had nothing. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm really, but sadly, I might be quitting doing clinical trials, because now that I'm in a relationship, my girl freaks out.
Yeah.
You know, she goes, well, I don't know how, if you're going to come back the same person.
Right.
Do these things, or if we have babies, I don't want to have a kid with a third eyeball.
Are you going to, like Woody, if you look at him.
Yeah.
So, are you going to, I mean, this is the one. This got to be the one, son. You've been with her about a year and a half now?
Yeah. But, yeah.
This is the one. You're going to marry this girl?
We'll
put
see.
Him on the spot. Recording right now.
Here's the thing, man.
So we know what if I,
I never understand the situation. This one fucking two, ten.
Yeah.
If you like a girl, that's it.
Yeah, you know what? She's definitely.
Does she want to get married?
Yeah, she's definitely up there. I mean, when I woke up from a heart attack, she was standing right next to my bedside at the hospital. Then I'm like, and I thought instantly, yeah, that's the woman I'm gonna marry.
That's the one,
you
dude.
Know what I mean? She's definitely up there in the spot. But yeah, I gotta give that up, because she freaks out when I do those clinical studies.
Yeah.
So I just gotta find other ways to sustain my comedy and my acting.
Do you know? Uber?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking into. But then I got this freaking.
You got a car, now?
No, I got issues. You know, with the car, the DUI.
That's actually
not a DUI.
You do a clinical trial at CarMax. Get a car. Actually, I can look you up. I just got Tim a brand new car.
Yeah.
Yo. You gotta do. I can hook you up.
I think I can do. I can do Uber, because my DUI was a drop to speeding contest.
Oh yeah.
I think
DUI that. Got dropped to jerking off in the back seat of a cop car. That's. All right. So what? Is there anything you want to plug?
Yeah, you know, like I'm doing. I don't know when is this gonna be aired or whatever.
Never. It was horrible.
Oh, okay.
Couple weeks.
If you air it, if this airs before August 6th, I'll be at the Brea Improv.
The Brea Improv.
Yeah, I'm filming there, and I'll be at the Gotham, New York, at August 11th.
Gotham Comedy Club. Yeah. What is a website? You have one?
No, that's still being built. I need to hook up with Tim. And find a find a nice Filipino lady to do
that. I think Adam Hunter has a guy like $200 or something.
But no, I'm all on the social media stuff. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Just type in Vince Royale with an E, R-O-Y-A-L-E, and follow me. And then
is that your real last name?
It's Vince Royale Rivera, but I dropped the Rivera. That was too long. So, you know, just fuck it. For the cops and my student loan people.
Excellent.
Oh, Royale Rivera.
Yeah.
Student loan. If I have any student loan fans.
If I ever make it big, they're going to find me. Yeah. You know, I'm like, let me just drop the last name for entertainment purposes.
Yeah, you know, it's so funny because it's so hilarious that I do that, too, with my first name, Jimmy or James or whatever I'll put on a W-9. I'm like, they won't find it. It's like they use the social security number. It's got nothing to do with your fucking first name.
Well, now they fucking hear this. If Sally Mae's listening now, they can fucking track me down. Like, hey, you owe us $80,000 student loans.
Nice. You went to college?
Yeah.
You graduated?
Yep. I got a bachelor's in marketing.
He got a master's. It's like a master's bachelor. He didn't get the master's.
Jersey City State College, which is now...
what's that, in the library? I've never heard of Jersey City College.
It started off as a community college, and then they changed the name to New Jersey City University. Oh. And nothing changed, just the name. So they just raised the tuition. They changed the name. Yeah. Now you're graduating with a university degree.
That's
nice. Like, are you kidding me? It's fucking the same shit.
Yeah. So a couple things I like to ask. Who was, it's not a gay thing. Who was your man crush?
Who was?
Who is?
Who my man crush? You know, it's funny because Stephen Briggs mentioned that I was his man crush.
Yeah.
But he's too young. Like, I'm into, if I were to... if I were to have a relationship, what is it? A relationship or just a fuck buddy?
You bro out, dude.
Mine's there. Brad Pitt.
You take off your shirt.
Tim's is fucking Ernie from Sesame Street.
See, that's so shallow. Brad Pitt, because he got a six pack. You know,
yours? Oh, Steve McQueen.
Would be Robert De Niro. He's older. I'm looking for stability. I need an older dude to take care of me.
He's a dude with benefits.
Yeah, and he's connected.
And a fucking AARP card.
Yeah, you know, somebody who can treat me like a princess.
Good. So, sex addict, no more, right?
No.
So what? Who? Porn star? What would your porn star name be?
Porn star name is that like a? I saw a Facebook game.
There's a game. Royale
is a great porn star name.
That sounds more like a wrestling name too.
Yeah.
It would be my middle name, my middle name and in the street that I grew up in, it would be Alex Sycamore.
Alex Sycamore.
Sycamore. Or maybe Stickamore.
Maybe your next
Alex Sycamore. Stickamore.
Hey, baby, your next, you're fucking Alex Sycamore. What? This motherfucker's sick. We're supposed to get tested.
Stickamore.
What's the Pulp
Alex
Fiction?
Stickamore.
Vince Royale with cheese.
I get that.
It's hilarious. I completely...
I hear that.
I thought about it. I was like, I'm not going to go there. The Vince Royale with cheese.
That's my text message.
That's how everybody...
That's what I think.
What is your name? Vince Royale? Like Vince Royale with cheese? Like, I haven't fucking heard that.
I grew up when Toy Story came out. And my name's Woody.
Oh, yeah.
And my best friend's name was Andy. And he was like a foot taller than me. It was the worst.
So what would your favorite, and I would assume that I already know it, but what is your favorite swear word?
Swear word?
Mm-hmm.
Cunt.
Cunt.
Yeah.
Siri?
I rarely say it. Cunt. That's something cunt. Like I never use, but like when I'm really angry, I think, what a fucking cunt.
Our guys.
And then that's just, it doesn't have to be directed towards women. Men can be cunts too.
There are plenty of guys.
Yeah.
So what can like, you did this movie with C. Thomas Howell, who's also in my movie, Rivers 9.
Yeah, I got to share a scene with him, which was fucking awesome.
Attack of the Killer Donuts?
Yeah, Attack of the Killer Donuts. I'm like, yo, I'm doing a scene with Pony Boy Curtis.
That's fun.
Right.
And that was pretty awesome. I played Tom the Perpetrator. The scene was very physical.
I was up for the movie. It was between me and C. Thomas fucking Howell.
I don't mean to give away the fucking movie, but I'm in the back of the cop car. I eat a radioactive donut and I fucking projectile vomit. No, wait. I kick the cop car, the door, and it flies like 50 feet away. I escape. I turn green and I projectile vomit. I run into this the freeway and I get hit by a speeding vehicle. And, that's how I die.
The Vince Royale with cheese bootleg right there. The live version of the fucking thing.
I'm looking, cool. Yeah, the same director of the last movie. I was in Lizard Man.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. Attack of the Killer Pickles. That was the last movie you did. So, being not a bad-looking guy, as we joked about the look, did you ever get to the point of, like, the drugs and the crack... girlfriends and all that shit of like, maybe I'll do some porn instead of clinical.
Yeah, you know what? That's not an option now that I'm in a relationship.
Right.
I don't think my girl would be too crazy about that.
But did you think about it? Like,
I thought about stuff like that, yeah. Stuff like, you know, single Vince with it didn't care.
Like like a big dick, your dick's good enough.
It's not Diaz Mackey huge, but it's good enough. it's good enough to get the job done.
Nice.
It's one of those comfortable penises.
Comfortable. Yeah. I love that. Comfortable penis. That's fucking hilarious. It's like a couch and a pussy. Yeah. It's comfortable.
But if I were to do porn, it would be like fetish Comic-Con themed porn.
What's your
fetish? Parody. Like my fantasy was to be Batman when I was a kid. But like, you know, if I were to do a porn, if I were to get $1 billion, I would get a bat cave. And I wouldn't even fight crime. I'd just turn it into like a sex dungeon.
That's
like
lit.
I'll be walking around with a cape and cowl with no pants on.
You know what? I wasn't going to say this, but now that you brought it up, Tim has a fetish story for Uber the other day. The guy left his keys in the car or whatever.
Like taxi cab confessions?
Yeah, this is hilarious.
The guy left his,
we're gonna wrap
during
up
Pride
this.
Week, he left his phone and I dropped him off. And then I went to go back to the place and there was no entrance.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where the hell does this guy go? So I walk around back. And it's
Hollywood?
Sort of like Eastern.
Okay.
Eastern. Anyway, so there's a secret entrance, and I go in, and it's a dungeon, you know, one of those like gay dungeons where the guys are all naked and they're, you know, jerking each other. I mean, it's just crazy. And the door guy's like, well, go find him in there. You can't call. And I go, so I walk in, and everyone's looking at him. I'm the only one with clothes on, and they all got like leather shit on, you know. And I go, yeah, he'll find me. That's all right. I'm not going to walk through there. So I go back, and he calls me the next day, and he's with his... And he's like, he seems like a straight guy. So he was with his girl, and they come to meet me, and I give him his phone, and Jimmy goes, did he give you a tip for holding it? And I go, no. He goes, you should have said to his girlfriend, hey, I went to the dungeon looking for you when I dropped you off.
You gave me lube.
Good. That's hilarious. So anyways, the last thing I want to wrap up is because we all have ADD and we jumped off of it. So cunt is your favorite word.
Cunt, yeah.
So I want you to say it to either to your girlfriend or the big titty weave bitch that I know.
I can't remember
her name.
What big titty weave?
The big titty one that she had the big titties. But didn't she have a weave? The one that used to come to the comedy shows?
Yeah.
So call her that. I want you to get rid of your frustration out, and then we're rapping.
All right. I will. The now or?
Yeah, right now.
I get. Yeah.
Tell her, call her it, use it, and then say, you're now with your girl, and that's why you don't need that anymore.
Yeah. So I'm doing better now. Go eat dog shit, piece of shit, cunt. There you go.
That's it?
Yeah.
All right.
It was short, but it was
firm. That's it. Perfect. Yeah. What do you say? Goodbye, Tim.
Goodbye.
Vince Royale, I love you, buddy. Great stuff, man.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Wait a minute.
Wait a minute. You ain't heard nothing yet.
Houston, we have a problem.
They're here.
Stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.